If I asked you, as you know, we look around our world and we look around at all the different things and resources that we do have in this world, how many of you know our world is just an incredible place, and we see it in a fallen state, but it's pretty amazing, this world we have, even though it's, you know, not great shape right now. But if you look around at the world, and I said to you, what is our most important or precious commodity? What would you say? Oil? Or would you say, oh, salt, because I can't eat food without salt? Or what would you say is our most precious commodity? I think it's time. I think it's time. Because it's something that we have that is given to us, that God gives to us. And it's precious. And once we utilize or go past a certain period of time, we can't get it back. You know? Some things, some commodities you can reuse over again. Or they can go back into the ground and become something else. Time, it's here, and once it's gone, it's gone. And it's limited for us. I'm so glad God isn't constrained by time, but at least our existence now is. And we only have a set amount of time. One of the things I think is hard for us sometimes to understand when we read God's Word is we all read our Bibles and we do something like this. What did I just do? What did I just do? Yeah. You know what else I did? I passed by 20 years of somebody's life. Sometimes we're reading the Bible and we turn a page and like 20 years have gone by. And we don't realize that a lot of stuff happens in that intervening time, from events, the big events, the things that we hear about in somebody's life, and Abraham and his call to follow God, and the next thing we know is 20 years later, and then God's giving him another promise, and then there's another period of time. And it's like, wow, where did all the time go? What was happening during that other time? Well, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5, that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Similar phrasing is in Colossians chapter 4, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. There's something to this about redeeming the time. You know, in both of those passages, it's redeeming the time, and it's related to wisdom in the way that we walk. Bible language and the way we walk is the way we just conduct ourselves. The way we conduct ourselves. The way that we go about our business, if you will. How we live our lives. You know, to redeem something is to buy it back. And you might be thinking, well, what am I buying time back? And wait, you just said a little while ago, once the time passed, I can't buy it back. No, but we realize that the days are evil. And in that way of redeeming the time, we have to see, Lord, how can we take the times and the days that are evil and use that time, buy that time back for something that is good? Sometimes we don't realize that each one of us, not that we don't realize, I shouldn't say that. Jim and I had to do a service, a funeral service this week, and the young woman was only 50-some years old, and she passed, and we do recognize that we do have a limit on our time, but we don't always recognize that that limit on our time is something that God has known and kind of ordained from the very beginning. You know, it says it in Psalm 139. I'm going to read it in a more modern translation. It says, time, this is Psalm 139, verse 16. Time is a gift from God. And none of us know how much of it we are allotted. Only God knows how much time each of us has on this earth to make decisions that will impact eternity. Because you saw me, Psalm 139 says, before I was in the womb. That's what God's word says. You saw me before I was in the womb. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day was recorded in your book. We know that we don't know what time we're allotted, but God does. It's recorded. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. So when God says we should be redeeming the time, we need to live in constant awareness that the clock is ticking. Making the most of the time, using every opportunity. You know, again, I want to read that verse I just read in a different translation, because sometimes when we read our Bibles, depending on what translation you use, when we hear it differently, our brain resets and we think a little bit again. I do this quite often. I'll read a passage and then I'll read it in some three or four different translations and kind of go, okay, you know, and it resets my brain and I think a little more. I'm going to read this again from the New Living Translation. It says, be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And then it goes on to say, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And then it goes on, don't be drunk with wine and so forth. Make the use of every time, redeeming the time wisely, to seek out and employ wisdom, to seize every opportunity, to use it for God's glory and for his kingdom, to think about our plans that we make and say, Father, this is our plans, but does it line up with what you want me to do? Is it your will? Are these your plans? Are they just my own plans? And then avoiding the pitfalls, harmless, empty activities that kind of get us off track all the time. And why do we live this way? Because we live in evil days, and we are here to redeem those days and that time back to be useful for the kingdom of God, yes, so he would be glorified, but also that we are here to use this time to tell others about him. Jesus taught his disciples a lot about redeeming the time. He said to them in John chapter 9 that we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. If you have some time, and Robert has some time, you can tell him to tell you the story how the Lord shared that with him a long time ago when he was a young Christian about redeeming the time and using the time, that there is only so much time we have. While the light is in the world, we have this opportunity. Now, before you think about this any further, and before we waste any more time listening to things in our own brain as opposed to focusing on what God wants us to hear today, let me stop for a moment, because I know our minds begin to run away with things, and you say, well, listen, I never made the most, I waste just a lot of time here and there. Well, again, there's two Greek words that are employed here, or phrases, for time. One has the idea of time like on a clock, tick, 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 tick. Then there's another one, and this is the one that is used here. It's when something should happen within a determined period of time. So in other words, you recognize that when we're told to redeem the time, there's that article, the, in front of it, it's not just time in general, but it's the time, specific periods of times. Yes, initially our lives. We have an allotted time. Our lives being useful for the kingdom of God, for the things that he wants us to do. But also situations that you and I get into every day. And are those situations time that we are using properly, using in the right way, using that moment in time to somehow redeem that moment in time to be useful for the kingdom of God? So he's not telling us to make use of every moment, though that's a good idea to do that, not to waste time. But he's telling us to seize every opportunity, to seize every period of time, to, if you will, like a shrewd business person would buy something to be useful for something in his plans to build his business or whatever he was doing to do. We look at that and we say, we want to buy back, if you will, this period of time and utilize this time instead of for evil or for wastefulness, but using it for the good and the kingdom and the glory of God. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we use every opportunity? as I said before, Jesus mentioned about the time that he had, and when the light, you know, was in the world, it's the time that we could work. You know, to me, he was telling the church that there's going to be a period of time that we're able to do the things we are. This is that time. You know, we spent time in the book of Revelation, and we may get back there again, but we spent that time to talk about the church. The letters to the churches. That's the age we're in now. The Holy Spirit's in the world. We have this time, this open door. It's been, you know, almost 2,000 years now, this time period for us to be able to do the things while the light is in the world. But at one point, we're going to leave. At one point, we're going home. Are we making use of every opportunity during the times that we're here? Remember, you and I are here today. I'm still getting used to say 2024. We're here today on January the 14th, 2024. And we're here for such a time as this, are we not? We're here for now. If Jesus wanted you born in, you know, 18-something, he would have been born 18-something. You're born for this time. Are we making use of this time, this moment in time? Jesus only spent, what, 33 years of actual time here on this earth. But he used every moment of that allotted time and every situation of that time and changed not only the world, but eternity. Some of you may have heard this quote before by British missionary, I think in the 1800s, his name is C.T. Studd. He said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." I want us to be able to redeem the time, to redeem it wisely. I want us to learn how to make the best use of every moment and opportunity that we have and use it for the glory of God. I want us to first, though, walk circumspectly, as that scripture says. To walk in the way of, to walk in a circumspect, if you will, is to be wary, not weary. How many are weary? The Bible says we can get very weary even in well-doing, right? But we have to be wary about our time, wary about the things that are going on around us. It's a Latin word that just means to look around. To look around. Do you look around? You say, "Of course I look around. That's silly." Yeah, but you know, I've seen some of us, how we conduct ourselves, and I could sneak up on you and knock you over, and you wouldn't even know it. Because you're not aware, Tom. You walk in, you got a thing, you got your phone, you're doing this. Are you looking around? Do you assume that, you know, other people aren't going to trip you up or knock you down? Or you assume that you're going to be able to step out and cars will stop before you? Or do you make sure, no, I got to check around my surroundings? Are you sure that when you go out to your car that there's, you know, it's in a good area and nobody's standing around, that they're going to try to do something to you? We have to be looking around. And in this way, we need to be looking around spiritually. Are we watching? Are we checking our circumstances and our environment? Are we checking the way that we are living in the world around us, to how we behave, to how we look towards others, to walk circumspectly? We live in evil times. We live in difficult times. We live in a fallen world filled with dangers and deceptions that are physical, but there's also the spiritual ones too. And are we wary of those? Are we watching about those? Are we easily blindsided? Are we easily tripped up? Many times, because we're not walking circumspectly, we don't redeem the time wisely, because we get sidetracked on so many different things, because the enemy knows that it's so easy to get us out in another direction by throwing all kinds of distractions our way. The number one way, I don't know about you, but when you get and said, "I'm going to sit down and read my Bible and pray," and what starts to happen? Your phones go off. Things happen, another thing happens, your mind starts to run, all these different things begin to take place. We have to recognize that that's distractions that will easily trip us up and keep us from doing the things we should do, so that we're not then making use of every opportunity in the way that we should. To walk circumspectly, to watch, to look carefully. Peter said it in his epistle, in 1 Peter. He says, you know, again, I'm reading from a more modern translation this morning just to get our attention. He says, stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Watch out. I may have mentioned to you before, I think I did, but years ago when my kids were little, you know, we were at the zoo, and we were at the Philadelphia Zoo, and we went down to where the lions were, and, you know, they were outside, but then most of them were downstairs, and we went down, and they have the big glass there, and they have them walking back and forth and pacing back and forth, and we didn't realize that it was near feeding time for them, and they were agitated. They're like pacing up and down. They're hungry, and they're walking back. And there was, unbeknownst to me, a lion that was actually over there in the corner. And I didn't see him. I'm watching all these other ones, and there was a big male lion sitting there. And I think what happened is the keepers came down with their food, and this sucker roared. I mean, through the glass, it was like, roar! And I was like, obviously, he could have ate me at any moment because I was standing like, I didn't even recognize he was sitting there over in the corner all quiet. But when he let out that roar, man, it got my attention. But I wasn't being what? I wasn't being alert. I was the glass is there. And obviously, I was, you know, not worried about that. But I'm thinking, I wasn't aware that he was standing right there, this lion. Are we aware that we have an enemy? Are we recognizing and asking the Lord to have our spiritual eyes open to see the fact that he wants to bring things into our life to keep us from walking circumspectly, to keep us from redeeming the time wisely? See, you know this, and again, I don't know why this morning I just felt that I needed to use some different translations than we normally have. But you and I both know this. Paul says to the church in our King James, you know, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know this, don't you? Romans 12. That you what? Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And then what does he go on to say? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed with the what? Renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and perfect will of God, right? Another translation says it this way, after he talks about beseeching us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. The second verse says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy it. Don't copy the behavior of the world around you. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That we need to understand that we cannot, we're so easy for us because this world is a magnet to us. We are earthlings. We're part of this world. And this world has a great attraction to us. And we have a great attachment to it. And this world continually wants us to conform unto its way. But when we became Christians, all of a sudden now we are not part of this world in the same way. This world is not our home. Our home is in heaven, and we're now here what? We are people that are pilgrims here walking through this world, and we're in this world, but we should not be part of this world system anymore. And we have to get to that place where we say, I'm not going to let this world conform me into its image anymore. I don't want to copy the behavior and the customs of the world anymore. Yes, obviously I have to behave a certain way, because if I don't, you know, people are not even going to understand me. They're going to lock me up in a loony bin somewhere. But I have to. But I don't have to think in the same way I did before. I don't have to act in the same way I did before. I don't have to do the things in the way I did them before, because it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. I'm a new creation in Christ. So I don't want to copy the behavior and customs of this world, but I want God to transform my thinking, my mind. And in doing so, my behavior will begin to change. It will change the way I think. And then I'm going to understand God's will for my life, so that I can, in a much more effective way, redeem the time wisely. Because I'm walking now circumspectly. I'm really thinking about things and looking around at situations and saying, Father, how can I make the most of this time that you have given me? You know, one of the simple ways to do this, to walk circumspectly and to redeem the time wisely, is to simply ask God. You know, he tells us in James, what? If we lack wisdom, we should ask. And he'll give that wisdom how? Generously, right? If you ask him in faith, he'll give it to you generously. Father, I'm not sure what and even how I should redeem this time. Not my time in general, and not even my lifespan, but this time, at this moment. See, you and I find ourselves here today, and it's good that you came out to service today, and we pray that others would be healthy enough to join us, and others who just maybe didn't feel like it, that they would become more of their habit to come out to service. And you say, yeah, but you know, but my Sundays and my Saturdays, they're busy. I'm sure they are. Meg and I have always had a crazy schedule. All right, like we're constantly in motion. Even our vacations, we never sit still. We just. When I was younger and first became pastor, I was still running our family business full time. We had just started the Access Center ministry, and that was running full-time. I was pastoring, and people say, oh, you're a part-time pastor. I said, I don't know what that is, because that was full-time also. Just doesn't matter where I'm earning the money. Is everything. You know, these were all full-time jobs I had. My kids were young, so I was a full-time father, full-time husband, and my schedule was so crazy that I was like a hamster on the wheel, and it was really unhealthy for a period of time. In fact, it was like 3 years or so that I remember saying to my wife one time, I said, you know, Meg, I said, I don't think I dream anymore, because I wasn't even getting that good restful sleep for years. I never went into that, what's that, REM sleep, you know, where you dream and all that kind of stuff, whatever that, you know, the thing is, and it was like, it was just one of those things. But I want to tell you, there's a reason for this. It's because that time that I had then and times that I was trying to fit everything into a schedule, as I would always learn and as I learned to do, present those days and the time before God, it's amazing how God always gave me the time that I needed when I was recognizing that I wanted to use that time wisely for His kingdom and for His glory. And I'll give you so many examples. I can give you, bore you with many, many stories and examples, but I'll give you just an idea. For example, you know, we would always have service at church, you know, Sunday, but we always had Tuesday night. It was a full service, just like, you know, it was Sunday. It was basically the same thing, a full service. You know, now we do more fellowship and Bible study and so, but back then it was a full service. And I was, you know, preaching at 7 o'clock we'd start, and I had to go and preach. And there were many times that I'd be getting up in the morning, and I had an appointment with the business down in Virginia, and I'd leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, drive down, try to beat the traffic, and then I wanted to make sure that I got out of there by 2:30, 3 o'clock, because the traffic always coming back on the beltway down was crazy. And there would be times that I would end up with almost like 4 o'clock. I said, I'm never going to make it. And even when I get there, what kind of state am I mind going to be in? And I would just be praying that whole way back. And it would be so many times, like almost like God would almost part the seas at times. You know what I mean? And I would pull up to church sometimes almost just at 7 o'clock, like 5 minutes to 7, and be able to walk in. And I'd walk into church and just take a moment and just settle myself and to pray. And then God all of a sudden would give me extra time. Like everything would go in slow motion. Everything would settle down. And I wasn't even pressed and rushed. And I would get up there, and all of a sudden I would be able to speak with energy God's word and realize, I don't even know how I got back here in time. It's almost impossible. And that I'm not exaggerating this. I mean, I'm not saying God transported me, but I mean, the ways that it would not be something that could happen unless God ordained and allowed me to do this, because God gave me the time that I needed. So what I'm saying all this to say this, you're never too busy to put God in His kingdom first. You're never too busy to come to church first. You're never too busy to come out to Bible study first. You know, we had many pastors when we had our pastor's prayer fellowship going really strong several years back, that especially some of the younger pastors, and I don't necessarily because of their youth, but maybe because they didn't really experience it like some of the more seasoned, you know, pastors had, they would say, oh no, I'm too busy to come out for prayer. I got my schedule. And we would finally say to them, listen, guys, you're too busy not to come out for prayer. the time that we would have, even if it was 1 or 2 hours, to come together, when we would do that, the rest of our day, the rest of our week, the rest of our schedule would all fall into place because we were doing something to redeem that period of time wisely so that we're able to use the rest of the time he's given us for his kingdom and glory more effectively. We have the opportunity. God will give us the physical time we need if we set aside that time to say, Father, I want to do things for your perfect kingdom, perfectly for your kingdom and for your glory. And then all of a sudden, God will give you wisdom on how that should take place. He'll give you knowledge that you don't have. As you say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. And again, I'll counter, don't have the time not to read the Bible. Oh, I have to get up a little bit early, but I need my rest. Guess what? You get up and take that time to fellowship with the Lord and read his word and meditate on his word and to pray. Guess what? You're going to do your day much better than you would without that, even if you slept another hour in. Because you're going to use that time. It's going to be, what does Timothy say? All scripture, what? It's God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we can spend time in the Word of God, redeem that morning time, redeem that evening time, redeem that time now that we use for something else that is maybe not as appropriate or effective, and say, no, I'm going to use this time, and you know what? Even if I don't think I have the time, I'm going to set it aside for God and for that opportunity to be in his Word and for prayer. And guess what? You'll have more time and more effective time to do the things you need to do. We need to make sure that the Word of God is in our hearts and minds and take time for that, because if not, what does Paul say? That when we were unbelievers, we walked in the futility of our minds. I don't want to walk in the futility of our minds. I don't want my mind to be darkened. I get up sometimes in the middle of the night, because I wake up a lot at night, and I reach for my phone, and it's like, about 10 minutes, I go, what am I doing? I'm reading articles, headlines. Who cares? I mean, I know that stuff is important, and there's a time to look at that stuff, but how much more effective would it be is what I always would do when I would wake up in the middle of the night and say, okay, Lord, why do you have me up? Who do I need to be praying for? What do you want me to hear today? Open your word, and you put a word on my heart? Because if we get that other nonsense in our minds all day, we need the Word of God to come in and set us straight and to take our darkened minds and to illuminate them with the Word of God. We have time for that. We need to make time for that. You and I need to make time on a regular basis. And you think that this may sound silly, but you and I need to make time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you something. We can't do this. We can't do this Christian walk unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, just as a reminder, when you became a child of God, when you were born again, assuming that you have been, if not, what are you waiting for? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. When you became a child of God and you were born again, the Holy Spirit of God came to live within you. If he didn't do that, you're not of his. You're not born again. You're not a Christian yet. But when he did come to live within you, and that's wonderful, you're sealed, he came to live within you, he's going to be with you until you go back to the Lord in glory. But I also want us to say, Father, we need to be filled. Ephesians tells us also that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit of God on a regular basis, filled with his power, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. As Ephesians 5:18 said, that we should be filled with the Spirit, to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Asking God every day, Father, as I set aside this time, read your word. Let it not just be stale or, rote reading for reading's sake, but Father, let your word illuminate my heart and mind, that I might be filled more with your presence and your power, to fill me up today with your Holy Spirit fresh, so that I can live wisely and circumspectly and know how the best way I can to redeem the time wisely. To walk in the Spirit, Father, each and every day, that I will not just gratify the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. Paul prayed for the church in Colossians chapter 1 to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing good fruit, or bearing fruit in every good work. That's the redeeming the time wisely. How? Everybody wants to know the hows. Um, two-second story. I mentioned our pastor's prayer fellowship that we had for many years. Very powerful, wonderful, that I've shared with you guys a little bit, but I'll tell you more about it in the future. But one of the things is, after a while, it became very much known about in a lot of circles about this prayer group we had in South Philly, you know, and we were invited places to speak. And they would have meetings, and these were other prayer groups and other groups, and they would say, we want you to come and share with us. And we'd say, sure, we'd love to come and share with you. And inevitably, what would happen is, we would come there, and we would begin to tell our story, and they would say to us, okay, give us the keys. What are the keys? Give us the points. You know, no, wait a minute. No, no, no. Tell us. Give us the 5 points of what we could do so that we can reignite our prayer. I said, no, you guys don't understand. We'd always tell them. There was no points here. It was simply us setting the time aside in our crazy busy schedules to meet together with the one expressed purpose to pray. That's it. Intentional prayer. You know, sometimes, have you ever attended a prayer breakfast? Prayer breakfast? Anybody prayer breakfast? There's a lot of eating and talking going on, but not much praying. They open in prayer. They have a song and they close in prayer. And the rest of the time is eat, talking, da, 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 da. No, we would come together for prayer on Thursdays at 10 o'clock. And you know what we came to do? Pray. And we prayed. I mean, amazingly. You know, we prayed his word. We prayed for the first 6 months that we started to meet together. We prayed intentionally through John chapter 17. Just prayed through it. Lord, you said that we would be one, as you and the Father are one. Help us to be one. And prayed all the different things, the different aspects of John 17. And guess what? Our intentional prayer, amazingly, incredibly enough, changed people's lives and hearts and minds. You had a group of these pastors coming from all different backgrounds that had all these different things that the world said separated us, and all of a sudden, all the barriers began to be broken down. Racial, economic, differences of scripture, denominational things, all broken down. And then you had these hearts of these men knitted together in love in a powerful way. So what was the key? What are the points? Pray through John 17? No, just come together and pray. That was it. Just pray. No, there's got to be more. No, just pray. Set the time together. I was, again, at that time, I was running the company full time. And guess what? I said, no, Thursday mornings, it's prayer. And I went. You know how many times I had other things? I said, no, can't do that. Can't do it. I got to pray. Got to meet with my brothers and pray. And guess what? I redeemed that time wisely. And God blessed it. And it was effective, not only just in our lives, but it touched the lives of our churches that we were pastoring, of our communities, in a very powerful way. Are we redeeming the time wisely? So I could stay up here and try to give you all the keys of redeeming the time wisely. No, I'm going to say, you pray. You take the time and set aside the time and say, Father, I heard Pastor Joe talk this morning from your word, and in your word is talked about that I got to live in a way that I'm walking circumspectly and I'm walking a little bit more intentionally, but also it tells me in there to redeem the time. I don't know how to do that. Be honest with God. He knows. Father, help me. I want to know how to redeem the time in my situation, not just, again, generally, but specifically. Father, I have a meeting tomorrow. How do I redeem that time for your kingdom? Father, I have work tomorrow. How do I redeem that time for your glory? Father, I have just some downtime. Guess what? Downtime can be redeemed for the kingdom of God. You don't always have to be studying his word. Sometimes you just need to rest. Yeah. I mean, real just, you know, I said Meg and I, you know, our crazy schedule. Yesterday was one of those days. It's so rare for us. We didn't do much, like nothing, except, well, we end up going to a soccer game, go out to dinner. I mean, we took it, and guess what? It was great for us. Our minds cleared up a little bit. Sometimes your rest that you need, not just laziness, no, not that, just resting your body. Jesus had a busy schedule, kept on schedule, but you know what Jesus did at the times he needed to? He rested. He took the time for fellowship. He took the time, obviously, for prayer and all the other stuff, but he was always on point because he used each moment of his life all with the Father. How does this period of time that I'm in, how can I redeem it and redeem it in such a way that it's effective use of my time or your time that you've given me for the kingdom and the glory of God. And he will do that. He'll give you that wisdom when you ask. But take the time. Set it apart for him. So I'm going to close on this. Only one life will soon be passed. To the lines, C.T. Studd said, right? It's a poem. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would have a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I'll know, I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Father, this time was, I pray, devoted for you, for kingdom, your kingdom, that we would redeem it wisely. Now, Father, this hour has passed us and it's gone, but we have the next hour in front of us. How will we redeem it for your glory? How will we redeem the time that comes to us, Lord, in this future? How will we redeem it for your glory? Father, I just pray today that your word would have its effect in our heart and in our lives, that, Lord, through this we would be awakened from our slumber to walk circumspectly, not as fools. And then, Father, through that, asking you for the knowledge and wisdom to live a life that pleases you, to understand what your will is for us, so that we, each and every moment and each and every day, would look for the opportunities to redeem the moments of time in a way that would glorify you. A way, Father, that would touch many lives. And a way that we can say, truly, that there is only one life that I have. And it will soon be gone. But Lord, let me do it all with eternal values in mind. In Jesus' name, amen.